Beautiful New Year. Maybe we'll see some of you through the week. This is W2TTT for K2BAR. Thank you, Ms. Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, for the use of their repeater. And looking forward to having a blessed and peaceful Christmas. This is W2TTT.
Hey, Gordon, W2TTT, WH1PZ.
Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Just a quick question. You haven't been on VHF in a while. Looking up this repeater, it notes an output in Montreal with no detail at all. Do you know what that's about?
An output? Well, there's an echo link over there.
Okay, that must be what I'm receiving, because it's literally overwhelming my front end here. It couldn't just be the Alpine transmitter. I don't think. I've got a pretty good vertical up at 30 feet or so, but still.
No, the Echo Link is a remote in Montville. Montville, pardon me. And in a secure location, and it will compete for the use of the repeater with any user.
Got it. Okay, so I'll sign off then. Actually, I've just been playing with HRD on a new notebook here, trying to get it all configured properly, and since I haven't used it in a year, it took me the last hour or two to remember all the buttons were, but succeeded.
Yeah, I have a question. Have you tried to combine two databases? Let's say you have a copy of HRD on one machine, and you want to take those cues and everything that was about them and integrate them on another machine. Is there a facility for that?
Yeah, I wish I knew of it. It's actually my work notebook, and I copied over just about everything I could imagine and tried to find something that has made sense, but haven't, as far as an image, a parameter file, but have not found it yet. Haven't spent too much time searching for it, but it's one of those things you don't realize how much you did save until you don't have it anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I had a similar experience with that with Moto Blur and Google. Each cloud service said the other had what I needed backed up, and at the end of the day, neither one did. So I lost my phone directory. So the good news is I've been able to reconstruct a good portion of it, and you know, from previous phone images and other tools, I've been basically I did a ad hoc synchronization of old phone tools with my Outlook, promiscuously added duplicate entries for fear that there would be something about it that would get butchered, and then went in and hand-edited them down, and then backed that out to, you know, load my phone. Boy, that was painful.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. We don't, like, even with the HRD, a phone is so much tougher because there's so much more phone or any database, Outlook. Moving from Notes to Outlook and vice versa and using some of those utilities that are out there, you know, that are supposed to do everything for you, just never seems to work. And I have a lot of files that I say I'll need, and I end up just kind of rebuilding them slowly but surely. But you can't do that as time goes on now. Some of these, my Outlook file must have absolutely hundreds. I mean, that's why probably LinkedIn, which I've been using for about the last couple of years, is handy. At least LinkedIn, it's online, you know, it'll always be there. You know, and it's self-updating, right? As people change their phone numbers, hopefully they go back to LinkedIn and update their data, which is, I'm kind of relaxing now more about not having everything on my own computer, knowing that's there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. You know, I don't know if I have you in my LinkedIn network, so, or vice versa. We should probably seek to solve that. I don't go into LinkedIn super often, but often enough to make it worthwhile, maybe once a month. What I absolutely don't do is Facebook. I mean, I have a Facebook account, but it's laughable. You know, I go in once every 3 or 4 months, whether I need to or not. And people are offended. They're absolutely offended. It's amazing. Yeah, I don't need it for business. But so it's all personal, and people, you know, call me up and say, "How come you haven't, you know, accepted my friend request?" I said, "Because you're an acquaintance." I go, "But that was the first time I didn't even know what they were talking about." And I said, you know, they use the word friend. So it's why the Greeks have, you know, 27 words for the word love, and we have like three.
Yeah, well put. Yeah, I'm in the exact same situation. I think there's probably 20 or 30 connections or friends, whatever they're called on Facebook, and I don't get in there often at all. Especially because there's been at least a half dozen people who I don't know. I mean, I don't think I know them, and if I did know them, it was, like you say, it sure wasn't anything but maybe an acquaintance. Whereas the LinkedIn is more of a business, you know, contact, and I mean, you know, I do know everybody, but it's much more related to information rather than chit chat, gossip, and such, which is what I find Facebook is a lot of. Obviously, the kids all use it, and I'm sure you have the same situation. And my wife actually gets on it on occasion, but I tend to just have better things to do than chit-chat about useless subjects.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know the whole, shall we say, triteness of Facebook is crazy. And I've even had to be a little careful as to who I agree to connect with on LinkedIn, only because there's some people let's just say this, I believe in redemption, but you know, I'd need a whole lot more evidence before I want them on my list.
Yeah, and that's true. You get a lot of the headhunters I've had where I don't even bother, and because you figure if your employer is looking at it, you have to think of it from other perspectives other than just your own, right? But there has been a handful of situations where people looking for jobs have used it to seek me out to help them, and I'm sure if the need occurred, I would clearly use LinkedIn for the same you find someone that's in a company that's hiring. As we know, there's nothing better than somebody knowing somebody and giving a first-hand reference rather than trying to read through a resume. So that's why I think it's a reasonable tool from that regard. But you don't have to be in there. No, I mean, I probably same thing once a week. If a couple of emails come in from it, I know they're friends or people I worked with, I'll just click on it and say sure, no problem. But it doesn't end up in very little bit of exchange other than when something is really needed.
Exactly. A couple of cases I've been actually able to help facilitate people, at least investigating the possibilities of mutual business needs. But my own requirements have not been necessary out in that world. I'm actually very happy and very lucky where I am. The work piles up, and I just keep figuring a smarter way to get about it. But my whole management food chain, up and down, and even without beyond the food chain, parallel universes are real happy with yours truly. Different organization in my company was so happy with how I just sketched out, a basic, opportunity space for using a tool they had, that they sent me one. And that was kind of ironic because they had it for 2 years and hadn't used it very effectively. They had several of them, maybe half a dozen. And they were about to go buy another four or five, and they said, well, we're having trouble figuring out what we're going to do with them. Well, what are you doing with them now? Well, we have this one thing we'd like to do. We'd like to build a tool out of it. But it turns out that what they were talking about was a Flex 5000. So, they had one application in mind for it, and I had about six or seven, and some of them were money making or, insanely cost savings. So, it was kind of fun. So, I'm now the proud user of a company-owned Flex 5000.
That's always fun. I have similar stories, very, very similar. I'm doing some work with LaCroix over here in Chestnut Ridge in the same situation. Actually, our company got acquired by Texas Instruments, so I'm now an official employee of TI, which is kind of nice. More toys to play with over here. But they ended up, we worked on the first 12-bit digital oscilloscope, very much hands-on on the front-end design. And same scenario is not permanent for keeps, but, long-term loan, which the CTO over there, actually, I gave it back recently, but said whenever you need it, you've done too much for us, so feel free. But I said, I don't want to get spoiled on a $45,000 oscilloscope. I'm just fine with my my under sub $10,000 one.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember the model number I have, but I have somewhere along the line, a friend of mine saved from a dumpster a 4-channel Tech 150 meg scope. That was very nice. That ended up in my ham check.
I still have It's a an old 475 tech. The 465 was the classic when we were, well, more than almost kids. But I still have a 475 that I can almost see. It's around a corner here. It's an old analog one that I pull out when I'm looking for things that you might not pick up on a digital scope. Although with 12-bit resolution and a gigahertz front end, it's there's not much that you can't find with these new digital scopes. But they're still not analog.
Now, that's right. You do have to think about that. I'm forgetting the name of the company, but there was a company that used to make a USB spectrum analyzer that, I guess the core engine was 1.8 gigs, and then they had, I don't know if it was a prescaler or a down converter, but basically they had an improved model that brought you up to 3.5 gig, it's being sent to me, primarily because someone else was evaluating it and didn't need it anymore, and they can't sell it, and they said, I know somebody who can put it to work. So I will finally have a PC-based oscilloscope, and my guess is it'll have some of those same kind of limitations. But boy, it's going to be nice to be able to look at 2.4, and at least understand what's basically going on.
Yeah, no, there's a few of them out there, USB-based scopes that are not half bad. We've got a 12-bit ADC that runs at 3.8 gigasample per second with about 2.5 gigahertz bandwidth. So it's a great front end for a pretty high-performance scope. And you can even interleave two or four of those, and scope or SDR, software defined radio. Yeah, it's the same type of performance that's in the front end of the radio that you've got there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, there's a spectrum analyzer that your new company actually produced that we have in another organization's lab where I work, and I'm amazed that it does not get more use. It's a Windows-based machine, I do remember that, but very, very nice little toy, or not so little toy, I think it's a beast, but not bad at all to use, and I think the problem was the organization that got it, and then the person who ordered it was shipped off to another set of work, no longer with the organization, and no one ever bought probes for it. So someone said, well, how do you know it's going to work? I go, okay, watch this. I power it up. I wait for it to do its little Windows login dance and get all squared away. I take a jumper wire, just a copper jumper wire for like a breadboard, stick it on the center conductor of the input light lead, walk about 10 feet away, grab my handy talkie and key up, and I said, see, it works great.
Yeah, pretty simple. Yep. It's usually not as complicated. It's just easier for people sometimes to say, no, that might not work, than just spending a moment or two and pushing the button and seeing it does. Hi, listen, I'm going to shut down, Gordon. Good chatting with you. It's been a while. We have to catch up. Yeah, I spoke to George the other day. Yeah, I was back about a month ago. I'll be seeing him, actually. We have a youth leadership training coming up that he's threatening to do with the boys up here. So I'll be seeing him pretty soon. But I'm sorry to hear that his mom's, both of your moms are ill. Sorry about that. We'll be sending our prayers out over the holidays here. It's a tough time for that. But listen, have a great holiday in any case. And best to your wife and the boys. And I'll turn the radio on here and I'll listen for you. WH1PZ.
So please don't be shy about jumping in on the techno on Thursday night. All comers are welcome. In fact, we like people who are just screwing with stuff. Just to tell us what they're screwing with. That in itself is helpful. And any topic is fair game. By the way, just on another note, it appears, assuming that I get picked, I'm going to take the FEMA Comtech, all hazards Comtech training late in January, and that should be interesting. It really should. Something else to do with my abundant spare time. If I work it right, I know I'll get the company to give me the time without having to take vacation. But I'm going to see if they'll spring for the accommodations down in near West Trenton. Because I don't want to drive back and forth 5 times in a week. That just be. Anyway, you take care, and thanks for the prayers. And I'll probably talk with George on Christmas, if not the day after. So, 7-3, and have a good one. WH1PZ, W2TTT.
Okay, good night, Gordon. Nice chatting with you. Good catching up. W2TTT, WH1PZ, off and clear.
W2TTT, WA2CAI calling.
Okay, we're back. I think we may have it. I couldn't tell keying up because there may be someone on for a check, but let's see if we can come in and I can do a quick one. So let's try flipping over. If you can get on there and give us a call, if we come back, we got it. If not, we'll meet you back on where we started out, on the frequency in front of me, but I'll just flip back. I know the position it's in. So if you don't mind, if you can give me a call on that frequency, let me see if I can respond, if I can reach it from here. KC2ZUMW2PNA2QSY.
N1MEQ Mobile. KD2AYU Mobile. Connected WB2HPR.
W-B-2-H-P-R. Disconnected. Connected. W-B-2-H-P-R. W-B-2-H-P-R. Disconnected. Connected. W-B-2-H-P-R.
KC2FOL from W-B-2-H-P-R. KC2FOL, this is W-B-2-H-P-R calling. KC2FOL mobile, KC2FOL mobile, from WB2HPR. WB2HPR, off and clear.
WB2HPR, disconnected.
Pretty good also. Not sure. But that's what they tell me. They perform quite well anyway. And there's a new HT out there that's they're touting that's $40 for a dual band HT. But the only thing is, it only does 2 watts on each band.
Yeah, that's probably just a little weak for what I want to do. I want the simplest thing going. They probably charge extra for that.
Well, I really am thoroughly impressed with this. I learned the hard way on sometimes, and this thing here has been pretty good. You know, I mean, it's been back to Vertex maybe too many times more than I really want to count on my fingers. Well, I almost broke one last night. It's pretty sore today. But it performs quite well on all three bands. I'm happy with it. You know, it's a good little radio. Supposedly durable and rugged, but I'll never put that to the test. A friend of mine had one of these, and he told me he dropped it four stories off a four-story building and shot the speaker mic and just put a little dent in the side of the casing of the radio. But other than that, it works great. I don't think I want to test that.
So I gather from all this, you're into 220.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I hang my hat and have since probably 2000.
Well, I have never been on 220, so it might be fun to give it a try. So I should consider that in my quest for a new radio, I guess.
Yeah, the prices on a lot of these radios are coming down quite a bit. It is fun. There's some good repeaters down from where I came from. That didn't sound right. Down where I lived for a whole bunch of years, there's a 220 repeater, and it's got tremendous coverage. You could drive out to eastern Pennsylvania, all the way up into Connecticut, northern Jersey, New York State, all over the place. It reaches out quite well.
Who's behind that one?
No club, just an individual guy. There used to be a repeater up on the TV tower down there in Warrenville, and he's just a guy that K2PM, I think his call is, Pete. He works for Port Authority, I guess it is, anyway, out there. But he's got a couple machines. That's one of them up there. So he did pretty good with it. I'll tell you, antenna's probably about 1,000 to 1,100 feet above sea level.
Oh my, what kind of a site did he find? Is that a hilltop or what?
The 600 foot above sea level at the base, and then there's a 500 foot TV tower for one of the public broadcasting stations.
Good planning. Very nice indeed. Well, thank you for telling me about that. So, is it your radio is a tri-bander?
Yes, actually you could make it a quad bander, but that voids all the warranties and stuff. It is a tri-band radio. It's they advertise it as a dual bander, but it is really a tri-bander. It does 220.
Uh-huh, okay. And this is the radio you've been sending back and forth to the manufacturer, I gather.
Yeah. I don't know very many that have had to do what I did. Honestly, get back to us once in a while. And this last time around, they replaced the VCO board in this thing. And now it seems to be working. They, in essence, and I don't know, maybe you could tell me wrong. In essence, the money they spent to repair this and to send this thing back, I could have bought a brand new one, and I think they absorbed all that price. You know, everything that they did, that they paid for, I added it up on stuff and doing the loaded labor rates and stuff, and he spent quite a few speckles to get this working, but they got it back to me in time. They were very good about it. They fixed the radio and no hassle about anything.
Where are they located?
This is Vertex Standard in Cypress, California.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was a successor to or a party to the Standard organization. I used to have a lot of Standard stuff, both for commercial radio and for ham radio. Back in the days when, you know, you had 24 crystals on a 12-channel radio.
Yeah, I have a Standard twin band, and it's a nice radio. It's a nice machine. It plays out quite well. The problem is the what was it, 2005? After 16 or 17 years, the electrolytic caps went on it on the 220 side, and the electrolyte got on the board. Caps were known to be defective, and the guy that worked on it was very good. He knew Standard inside out. He actually pulled a lot of the components off the boards and chips and got the electrolyte off and had to replace a lot of the, I think, like 16 electrolytic caps. And he did it once, and then it worked 6 months. He said when the board heats up again, if you get that electrolyte stuff from the capacitors, he says it'll eat more into the board, and he did it again, and I got it back, and then about a year and a half ago, I noticed the receive went on it, so, but it's a nice little radio. I went through batteries and everything else with it, and I figured after 22 years of having the thing, it would still work great on 2 meters, and limited on 220 receive, but figured after that time, it was time for a new radio that did everything. This is pretty good here, you know, for a knock-around radio, so to say. But you can get Woshans that do 2 meters and 220 or 2 meters and 440. There's a lot of radios there. But this one here is a submersible, too. They say, I think you can put this in, I'm going to say 3 feet of water for 45 minutes, and it's guaranteed to work.
Well, I'm still working with a 2AT that I modified, put a tone board in with some help from Henry Brothers, or Henry Radio, out on the West Coast. And I dropped that in Lake George, and it was hours before I could get it back out. And I just opened it up, and with some help from another ham, just dried it out. Took a couple of days, and it came right back. Incredible. So that's what I have for an HT with a one tone board. That's it.
Yeah, that works good. You'll have that for your many years to come. They used to build radios. That was another thing. A friend of mine had a 2AT, and he dropped it off a 45-foot tower, and he shattered the case on the HT, but the guts were fine, and just replaced the case and replaced the rubber duck, and he was in business again.
Yeah, I'm not going to get rid of the radio, but I need something a little more flexible to use when I'm up in Maine. I don't have a base station there, and one of my base stations here just died. I'm not going to bother to fix it. Go on to using the dual banner that I do have. Well, good chatting with you. Opportunity to say Merry Christmas. Hope all is well over there. And it's certainly not snowing or doing anything like that, but it's it's lovely out.
I was just talking with a guy over in Ireland about that. Yeah, it's nice that the weather's behaving itself. Listen, all the best for now. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Good to talk to you again. And I recommend the VX6. I think it's a good little radio. It's it really is very rugged and very durable. It'll take quite a bit. And I got 1,000 memories in here. If you modify it, it'll even do 6 meters, but anyway, it'll transmit there. But the only difference between this and some other HTs is that you can only receive one band at a time, and that to me is fine. K1JMI and Z2K.
Thanks, Paul. Nice to hear you in there. NZ2K, good morning, K1JMI.
Very good, thank you, Dick. J1JMI, NZ2K.
NZ2K listening. NZ2K testing.
Good morning, K2GTL Bubble. Thank you.